I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, we're headed back into the belly of the beast because apparently the Tumwater School District needs another dose of common sense. Plus, we're getting word that Democrats in Olympia are once again seeking to block independent journalists from covering the legislature. And Senator Patty Murray tells yet another lie about an ICE arrest. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com. That's undividedpod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. I have to start with this. To my loving husband, happy birthday. I forgot my husband's birthday today. I'm very embarrassed by it. And in fact, it was a loyal Undivided viewer who I think texted me as a joke, don't forget it's Mike's birthday. And I'm like, oh my God, I forgot about my husband's birthday. I mean, I knew his birthday was today. I called him, I talked to him twice this morning. And then I got that text and I'm like, I am the world's worst wife. And I called my husband back and he's just laughing. So to my sweet husband, I won't sing you happy birthday like I do for everyone else because I know that that mortifies you, but I love you so much. Happy birthday, you're the best thing ever. Am I redeemed? I hope so. Does that redeem me? I don't know. All right, we are heading back into the belly of the beast. I want to start with this today. This will be the last, probably the last in-person event I'm doing for the rest of the year. I don't think I have any more. You'll recall that we have been, you know, going around to various locations to help gather support for the Let's Go Washington initiatives, which we've talked about quite a bit because I think it's just such a crucial topic and such a crucial part of restoring common sense and sanity. And so we did at the end of October an event in Tumwater, which, as you know, has kind of become ground zero for some of this radical gender ideology and the fight to protect girls' sports and parental rights. And so we've decided to go back in light of recent events. This Saturday, I'm going to be back in Tumwater with Justine Detterling and Annalee Wilson. We are going to hold a super signer rally from noon to 1:30 at Michael T. Simmons Elementary. Oh, yes, they're letting us inside this time. Didn't let us inside last time, but we'll be in the Tumwater School District again at Michael T. Simons Elementary. That is in Tumwater this Saturday at noon. And one of the reasons it's very important for you to come is you may or may not recall how out of control the last rally we held in Tumwater was.
We are being told that 18-year-old men are not present in the locker rooms and bathrooms of 15-year-old girls seeking to silence their voices, eradicating the fundamental female rights that the left claims to care about protecting so passionately.
Yeah. Anytime I am in or around in the vicinity of Olympia, they come out to protest me, and in that case, a 16-year-old girl, Frances Stout. So we've decided, in light of how that went and the unhinged leftist mob that attempted to silence the voice of a 16-year-old girl, that maybe that's exactly where we need another dose of sanity before the end of the year. We're also going back in part because of this latest story that just broke that we discussed on the show yesterday that's now getting national attention about a fifth grade teacher in the Tumwater School District who identifies as non-binary, makes the students call her Mix Thornton instead of Miss Thornton, and told an external investigator that she did not want to teach the 10-year-old child of a school board member who supports protecting girls' sports, which is one of the craziest education stories. It's from our friend at Alicia Perkins at OSD Rescue. One of the craziest education stories we've covered. Blatantly said that they had requested a meeting with the principal to discuss, quote, developing a policy or practice to help mitigate the placement of students in their class who come from families that do not support LGBTQIA plus identities, citing personal safety concerns, and specifically naming the 10-year-old boy, the 10-year-old boy who is the son of a school board, now school board president, who took a symbolic vote saying, I don't want boys playing against girls. That made this teacher allegedly fear for her personal safety that she'd have to teach this guy's son and might have to have some sort of interactions with him down the road. So that story broke out of Tumwater this week. So I think it's perfectly appropriate that we are once again in Tumwater this Saturday. We're joined by Anna Lee Wilson, who, of course, is a teen athlete who's been very, very vocal about trying to protect girls' sports. I have more on her coming up in just a moment. But we could use you all there. Last time we were in Tumwater, I'll never forget the strong men who showed up and formed a circle of love and protection around Anna Lee Wilson, or around Frances Stout, rather, so she could speak, given the security risks at that particular location. And apparently, whenever we go down to that area, there's just a lot of far left alphabet mob folks that come out. So I don't know what they're going to try to do on Saturday. I don't know if they're going to try to shut down the event. I have no idea. But we're going to be there, hopefully in numbers, even if you've already signed the initiatives. It's very important for you to be there to stand up and show that, hey, this school district has a lot of work to do on combating radical gender ideology, and we need common sense people to come out. And one of the other things I think it's important to continue to do is to show support for these girls. And I've said, at this point, there's no excuse. There really is no excuse. When you've got teen girls who are willing in larger and larger numbers every week that goes by to stand up for themselves, even if it means being ostracized, even if it means losing friends, even if it means being vilified by adults on the internet, I really struggle to come up with an excuse for not speaking out on their behalf if you agree with it. And I think most common sense people, this is like a 90-10 issue. So I think most people agree with the notion that biological boys shouldn't be in girls' spaces and competing in girls against sports, but too many rational adults are just quiet. And I get it. Some people are worried about losing jobs or whatever it is. I'm not saying you have to go out and hold rallies and make public statements, but in your circles to let people know, look, this isn't right. We have to do something about it. I think that's very, very important. And it just shocks me. I need to stop saying things shock me. I think it's just a phrase that I'm so used to resorting to, but it doesn't really shock me anymore. It does sadden and disgust me, though. The number of adults who continue to vilify kids. And let's make this a both sides issue for a moment. What have I always said about, you know, the trans sports issue? I've said, don't make it about the kids. Do not make it about the trans kids. One, I don't think that's a good strategy. I think when you make it about trans kids, you lose. But also, it's really not their fault. These are decisions being made by adults that have put them in an unwinnable situation. And so targeting any sort of ire, especially when you're talking about minors. Now, when you get into collegiate athletics, when you get into the Olympics and professional athletics, and you have men who are choosing to compete as women, yeah, you can make it about them. Those are adults. They know what they're doing is wrong. But when you have kids, you don't know what kind of influence they're under, what has led them to that place. I don't believe that our side, or at least our viewers and listeners, have made it about the trans kids. You know, we've made it about Bob Ferguson. We've made it about Nick Brown. We've made it about the superintendent of public instruction, Chris Reichdahl. We've made it about the teachers union and about adults who come out and protest our events and try to shut down teen girls. But on the other side, you have all these people choosing to vilify the teen girls who are speaking out, which is just such a crazy thing. Like, vilify me, fine. Vilify, you know, politicians or school board members who don't want boys competing against girls, fine. Like, we kind of sign up for that. But when you're talking about 15, 16, 17-year-old girls who are coming out and just sharing, this is my experience, this is how it's impacting me, I can't imagine as an adult ever focusing my line of attack on a policy issue at them. But that's exactly what's happening. There's this local blogger in the Wenatchee area, right? I've never heard of this person, but apparently is stirring up some drama in the Wenatchee area. And I want to talk about it because that's where Anna Lee Wilson lives. So, of course, Anna Lee Wilson is the high school track athlete who lost the junior Olympics track meet to a biological boy. And she didn't know she was going to race a boy that day. And she's standing on the podium in second place. You can tell she's upset because she starts to realize what has happened. And at the time, there was this blogger. His name is Dominic Bonney, a blog called Source One. And it's specifically in the Wenatchee area. And that's where, again, Anna Lee goes to school and lives. So back when Anna Lee initially lost this track meet to a biological boy, he wrote this blog explaining, you know, what had happened and the reaction from the community. And he really vilified people who were speaking out against his biological boy. He put this, there was a Facebook post from a guy named Reed Wilson. This is a biological male taking away a victory from a girl in the girls' 1600 meter at the Junior Olympics in Kashmir. So that Reed Wilson posted, hey, with this picture, this is what happened. And this local blogger blasted that parent for just pointing out something that's obviously wrong, saying what's happening on Reed Wilson's Facebook post is a far cry from responsible dialogue. The mob mentality on display is nothing short of shameful, especially from leaders who have been or seek to be elected. We need to tread very carefully and not vilify, threaten, or bully children ever. This child is not some avatar for a group of people you want to punish. They are an individual who is statistically at risk. How must that athlete or their parents feel if or when they read that thread? To know that some of the most powerful people in your community want to run you out of the county, out of your hometown? The issue of trans athletes competing in women's sports may never be solved in the satisfaction of all parties involved. What can be guaranteed, though, is that it will never be solved if we can't discuss the issue like adults. And this is going to set me up for something perfectly. And aren't youth sports supposed to instill character traits we hold up as desirable in any adult? Traits like leadership, emotional maturity, and grace under pressure? As adults, this is our opportunity to model those behaviors for our children if we possess them. So again, this local blogger is a small news outlet published on Substack. He, back in May, posts this about this event and basically says, hey, you know, we can have this debate, but don't make it about kids, which I totally agree with. And that line there, we need to tread very carefully and not vilify, threaten, or bully children ever. Great, I agree with you. Except now he's bullying children. Except now he is bullying Annalee Wilson. So he writes this other article on Substack, the headline after there was this big event in Wenatchee this past week where more than a dozen girls showed up to stand behind Annalee Wilson as she continues to raise awareness for this issue. This same guy, okay? This same guy. What is this? How many months apart is this? Hold on a second. So that was May. So, you know, it's like 8 months later. Let's Go Washington Initiative signature drive comes to Garden City Academy on Wednesday. So he writes this preview about Annalee Wilson, and she's going to be at this Let's Go Washington event. And in it, he calls her an anti-trans activist. Think about that for a second. This is the guy who just back in May was saying, we need to tread very carefully in not, oh, 2024, okay. We need to tread very carefully and not vilify, threaten, or bully children. That's him in May of 2024. Because the child being bullied is the trans athlete. But now, fast forward, and Annalee Wilson is speaking out, and he is bullying her, bullying children. Anti-trans athlete activist Annalee Wilson. And then he goes on to describe her as the girl who came in second, with encouragement from her parents, used the opportunity to garner media attention that started with coverage by me and ended with Fox News. So this guy, who back in May 2024 is saying, hey, you know, a trans athlete beat this girl, but let's not make it about the trans athlete. Let's never, ever, ever bully children. In fact, aren't youth sports supposed to instill character traits we hold up as desirable in any adult? Traits like leadership, emotional maturity, and grace under pressure. As adults, this is our opportunity to model these behaviors for our children if we possess them. That's the tone that this adult, that this blogger is taking when it comes to trying to get people not to bully the trans athlete, something that I agree with wholeheartedly. But it's okay to bully the female athlete. It's okay to call a 16-year-old girl an anti-trans activist, even though she has never made it about the boy who beat her. She's always made it about adults and policymakers and politicians. Now he says she's using this as an opportunity. She would have, I am sure, I think I know her well enough by now, that she much rather would have just run a race against biological girls. She would have got first place and moved on with her life and never had to deal with any of this. So it's okay to bully her, not okay to bully trans kids, of course. And some of the nasty responses on social media, it's absolutely crazy. So these were responses to the picture of all of those girls who were standing behind Annalee Wilson. You poor oppressed majority. Jack, worried about girls but worship Trump, an Epstein buddy child rapist. You people are cultish clowns. Cadence, Rushton, trans people existing does nothing negative to your life, you crybaby bitch. We're talking about responses to a teen girl and to teen girls using their voices to stand up for themselves. Bobby Sulsa, ah yes, the old transgender boogeyman that doesn't exist. What a bunch of rancid, inferior turf dogs. They will reap what they sow. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Adults and the media, too. So the far-left equivalent of our show, is that fair? Not as well-known or successful, obviously. Called The Burner, a podcast in Seattle by people who were fired from The Stranger. Hannah Krieg, making fun of Annalise's name. She spells it with an H. A-H-N. Of course that's how she spells her name. LOL. Like, what are you, a child? So you've got a grown woman, probably like in her late 20s, early 30s, bullying a teenage girl who's speaking out for herself because her name is spelled with an H. As if she had any say in that, you know? As if she had any say with how her name was spelled when she was born. Just absolutely crazy. So meanwhile, the attacks on the initiative process continue. This happened at the Port Orchard in Fred Meyer. A woman approached a signature gatherer there.
Cynthia Landry here. This guy is promoting hate. And I'm going to tell you what, trans people get to be who they are.
Help get these on the ballot, sir. Parents, right?
See
to
these?
Know.
I was going to hold them up for your camera.
Get this on the okay. Give parents a right to know what schools are doing to their kids.
Just don't sign these. It's Fred Meyer Port Orchard. Come talk shit to
me. Will you sign these initiatives? Parents' rights,
come
fairness in girls' sports,
to
citizenship to vote.
Sorry.
It's like, if you don't want to sign them, don't sign them. Walk in. Do your shopping. Oh no, she couldn't even let it go there. She goes in and gets the store manager, total Karen.
I'll see the manager, please.
And brings the store manager out.
Guys, I don't want this in my entry.
Sign.
You're all going to have to leave.
You know?
This is what I don't want you here. Come on.
Well,
I can't
I'm going to return
all this. That's fine, but this is not where we're returning.
Either he leaves or I'm
returning.
Come
with me and we'll go to his desk.
Do whatever you got to do.
So come with me.
I don't want this in
the
front of my store.
Thank you. Okay. It's freaking important.
I'm a business person, too. I get it. I live in this community.
Yeah, and look, I do have sympathy for businesses. But we have laws, and it's a public square law, basically. You allow other people, and you hear the bell. I'm pretty sure that's a Salvation Army bell. So the law basically states that if you let other people use that as a public square, like Girl Scouts or the Salvation Army, then you really don't get to pick and choose. Can we debate that law? Sure, I guess we could debate that law. But this unhinged, absolute Port Orchard Karen can't just walk past. And you also saw, that's going on, and then a dad approaches the same, right? The same signature gatherer and uses a talking point straight from the Washington Education Association.
You're being recorded. What did you say to me?
I'm sorry?
What did you say to me?
Oh, I said you're still trying to look at kids' genitals.
No, not at all. I'm just collecting signatures to get things on the ballot and make it fair.
Shifting, bro.
Absolutely insane. Literally, you see how those talking points play out. Spread by the WEA, being sent out right now in mailers to parents and voters trying to tell them that this initiative is about you have to pull down your pants and show your genitals to play in sports, which is so freaking stupid. I have a more in-depth story on that tomorrow or Thursday, but it just shows you that those talking points absolutely are being disseminated to voters who can't use their brain on their own. So just one more reminder, if you've been looking for an opportunity to come out and to support these initiatives and to support the young girls and parents who are trying to get them passed and stand up for themselves, you can join us this Saturday at noon in Tumwater. We will be inside Michael T. Simmons Elementary. So I really hope to see you there. And of course, I hope that just like last time, we've got a bunch of dads who can show up and stand up for girls, because apparently there are so many women who don't want to stand up for girls, like the two women on the Tumwater School Board. All right, coming up next, there is going to be another effort this legislative session in Olympia to keep independent media like me from covering the legislature. We'll dive into what we know so far. First, if you're thinking about selling your home, reach out to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com. Sellwithwes.com. Wes and his team offer a lot of services that you're just not going to find with a traditional real estate agent. One of the big things that they offer is called the Listing Boost Concierge Service. And what that means is they can come in, like let's say you need some cosmetic upgrades to our home. I think a lot of us just sort of live with things here and there, and then it comes time to sell our home and we're like, we got to fix some of that if we want to get top dollar. So that can be stressful, but Wes will take care of absolutely all of it for you. And that's what he did for Elizabeth W., who sold her condo with Wes. She says they gave recommendations on suggested improvements. I was able to pick and choose what I wanted to get done based on my budget. They coordinated everything with the contractor, including receiving and setting up new appliances. They even offered staging, but gave me a realistic expectation on whether I wanted to pay extra for physical staging or just do the virtual staging, which ended up being amazing. So she gave them 5 stars. So if you're thinking about selling your home, reach out to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com. Sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. All right, so let's see what Seattle's socialist mayor-elect is up to in the days leading up to her officially being sworn in. Well, she had an event at Town Hall Seattle. And it was an event with 91.3 KBCS, so a radio station. She tweeted out a picture from it and said this: "Thanks to Tom Hartman and 91.3 KBCS for hosting me last night at Town Hall. I enjoyed sharing a little of my vision for the city, including my idea for publicly funded local media. News Notes is what she's calling it, which got a great response from the crowd." Oh, great. Here we go again. So this is not by any stretch of the imagination a new concept. This is something that progressives and socialists in Washington state have been talking about for some time. We even have Democrats in Olympia who floated certain tax breaks for news organizations, of course, the news organizations that they support. And so now Katie Wilson, along with her long, long list of free things that she wants to use taxpayer funds to prop up failing legacy news publications. And I obviously have an issue with that, because if you want to support, if you think it's so important, right, that we have a robust media environment, then there are ways that you can choose to use your own money to support them. Like, you guys pay $5 a month for our show. If nobody wanted to pay $5 a month for our show, guess what? Our show probably sucks. And our show probably shouldn't exist. And something probably should take its place. So I do believe that the more media outlets, the better. Even the cuckoo left ones and the cuckoo right ones, frankly. The more media, the better. An absence of information is not good, even if sometimes that information can be flawed. None of us are perfect, right? But forcing taxpayers to pay to fund news organizations that might actively be working against them or against their best interests, or news organizations that they don't support or don't consume. You know, you can let them support something they do. KUOW, let them donate some money to KOW if they care that much. Hell, let them write a check to the Seattle Times for some god-awful reason. But to take people's money and then disseminate it to news organizations that you choose to prop up is obviously very problematic. Now, at the same time, and the reason she's saying we need to do this, and she said there was just a rousing response from the crowd, is because we are seeing these news deserts. And we are seeing fewer and fewer options for locally focused journalism. And that is just true. We've seen examples of what this can lead to. I mean, we see it all the time, but certainly in recent weeks and recent months. For instance, there was a very important press conference that Seattle Mayor Bruce Harrell was having where he was signing an overhaul of the city's business and occupation tax, which could have had and will have profound consequences on businesses. So by any stretch, a very important press conference for journalists and media in the city to cover on behalf of their constituents. Here's what happened.
Are there any questions? I don't want to deprive you of the opportunity to ask any questions. Hearing none, I'm going to count us down to 3, 2, 1, Seattle. Okay, let's sign some legislation.
Not a single question. You had the mayor there, the president of the Seattle City Council there, passing a proposal that could even further degrade our economic vitality. Not a single question from the media. So there is no doubt that the number of reporters is quickly dwindling. And that does hurt citizens. And it does hurt their ability to know what's happening in their own communities. The problem is, at the same time that Katie Wilson and progressives want to use taxpayer money to prop up failing legacy news, those same Democrats and progressives are using their power and authority to squash any news outlets that they deem to be conservative or not in the best interest of the Democratic Party and of progressive causes. We've played this clip a million times of our friend Jonathan Cho, who does more journalism in an hour than most reporters in Seattle do in an entire month. And ever since he left Como News to do this work, he has been blocked repeatedly in the city of Seattle from attending press conferences, even ones where hardly any other reporters show up.
You're not actually a journalist. You were fired for promoting the Proud Boys. So we talk with reporters like those in the room.
Jonathan, you're not allowed in there.
I'm going to go as close. I don't understand why I'm not being allowed to go in.
You're not a member of the media, Jonathan.
So I'm not being allowed to go in?
Nope.
No. Okay.
So on one hand, wow, we need to spend taxpayer money propping up newsrooms because there's not enough news and information. But not those ones. And let's keep those ones, in fact, out of press conferences where they can ask questions on behalf of the people who read their content, who view their content, who listen to their content. So you really can't have it both ways and be seen as an honest operator. You can't say less journalism is bad, let's fund it with taxpayer money, and then use your power to silence journalists you don't like and to keep them out of press conferences. And it's not just happening in the city of Seattle. As you know, this same dynamic is playing out at the state level as well. So by same dynamic, I mean a smaller number of journalists doing the work, while at the same time, they stop independent journalists from filling the void that legacy media is leaving behind. A couple examples. Just last month, Nick Brown was having this big press conference about his 45th lawsuit against the Trump administration on a very timely, important topic like immigration. There were two questions and then this.
Okay, seeing no more questions. Thank you again for coming and have a great Thanksgiving, everyone. Appreciate it.
Yeah. All the who's who there talking about such a timely issue that has a profound impact on people's lives. Two really simple questions, no pressing the issue, and then nothing else? Okay, let's move on. Just last week, as you know, I went down to Olympia for a press conference that socialist state lawmaker Sean Scott was holding, introducing a new tax on business that could lead the state's two largest employers, Microsoft and Amazon, to pick up and leave. By any stretch, a very important press conference to be at, yet here's how it played out.
This is about today.
How can you call it austerity, though, when it's ballooned
100? We've heard quite a lot from 70%. This person. I just want to make sure that we have others with the ability to ask questions as well. And then if we come back to you, if nobody else has anything, then we can go on. Okay.
How many taxes is enough?
So I show up. There's 12 other reporters there. Half of them couldn't even muster a single question. A single question. So I just kept asking him, why not? This is an important topic. It's a good opportunity to have him answer about some of the flaws in his plan. And he doesn't want me to ask any more questions. So he turns to other reporters, please save me with a softball. And nobody has any questions. So he has to come back to me. He has no choice. Then there was this press conference that Governor Bob Ferguson and Secretary of State Steve Hobbs had just last week. They were certifying the results of the November election. Take a look at this picture from the press conference that happened. So you've got the most powerful person in the state of Washington seated at a table at a press conference where reporters can come in and can ask both him and the Secretary of State questions. And while they were there to certify the results of the election, there were a ton of other things to ask them about. For instance, this was just after news that our economic forecast in Washington state is getting worse and worse. This also came just as the Department of Justice announced they were suing the state of Washington over its refusal to release voter data. So Steve Hobbs is sitting right there. How many reporters you see at the table? Only two. Look at all the empty seats. Two. Seats next to the governor of the state that could be filled by independent reporters. Empty. Empty. So I got word this week that the Washington State Democratic Party, despite all of that, is going to make another go this session at keeping me out of press conferences in Olympia and keeping Jonathan Cho out of press conferences in Olympia. If you'll recall the background of this, so last year, the Capitol Correspondents Association, which is like two people who cover the State House, two reporters, two fellow journalists, they didn't want to grant us access. They didn't want to grant us press passes, even though I've been covering Olympia for 15 years. I've never been accused of lacking decorum. I've never been accused of acting unprofessionally at a press conference. Even the Sean Scott press conference, I had calm, legitimate questions for him. I might be an opinion host, but it doesn't mean that I can't still do my job in a journalistic way. So last year, journalists in the Capitol Correspondents Association conspired to keep independent voices, some of those most prominent, I hate to toot my own horn, some of, if not the most prominent political reporter in the state, just because I'm no longer affiliated with a mainstream news publication, out of the State House in Olympia. And you'll recall what happened. So they kind of had these rules, they applied to us. Jonathan Cho tried to go down to Olympia to cover a press conference. This is what happened to him.
Why can't Jonathan?
He's not credentialed.
He is credentialed. He got his credential for the week.
It's right here, sir.
Not the wings.
But the press briefings are in the wings.
Yeah, I know. And you can't come in at the wings.
I can't come in?
No.
So can I get an escort?
You can go to the gallery. You can go to the press table.
Can you escort me in?
To the press table?
No, I mean, to this press conference so I can be in there with Carlene and ask questions.
Credential. Like, you want a list? I mean, if you want to die on this hill, God bless, but like...
What are you guys afraid of? What are you guys afraid of? I'm just asking questions.
I mean, Carly, you can come in if you want. I mean, if you want to...
No, I'm happy to. I was...
Credential. What are you guys afraid of? You afraid of questions? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, why?
Jonathan, you're not a reporter.
I'm not a reporter. Says who? Is there any person of color in there right now? Aren't you guys all about DEI?
Good luck with your fear-mongering. Good luck.
Yeah, I guess lawsuit too then, huh? All right, so it looks like we're going to have to do a lawsuit. Carlene. They're not letting us in.
All right, Carlene, I'm letting you in.
All right.
No, I'm going to go in.
Yeah.
And you're going to hang out?
I guess this dude ain't letting me in. I have multiple creds. How many news directors do you want me to call you guys to tell you I'm reporting for them?
Listen, this is thank you.
Yeah. Well, you guys are afraid of questions. You guys don't want to be held accountable.
Wild. Wild. I'm as angry about it watching it a year later as I was watching it right after it happened last year. And Democrats were so set and so triggered by Jonathan Cho's presence and the prospect that he could find them maybe in a hallway somewhere and ask them a hard question, that they called the Washington State Patrol. Remember that? The Washington State Patrol was called in to monitor Jonathan Cho's movements around the state capitol building. So you may or may not be familiar with what happened after that. Me, Jonathan, some other independent outlets who were denied press credentials, ended up getting a law firm and essentially sending a cease and desist and a threat of a lawsuit to the Capitol Correspondents Association. They decided they didn't want anything to do with that. So after 100 years, they decided to rid themselves of the issue and no longer be the entity that's in charge with handing out press credentials. They just gave that responsibility over to the legislature after like 100 years because they didn't want to get sued. So journalists were so set on keeping other independent outlets out of the State House that they got rid of this power they'd had for 100 years and gave the power to politicians to dictate who could come and go. So that was happening around the end of the legislative session last year. So the legislature said, look, we don't know what we're going to do with this. You know, we'll back off for the time being. And we were allowed in for the last couple weeks of the year. Well, now I'm hearing behind the scenes that Democrats, rather than, I don't know, spending time leading up to the session trying to figure out how to solve our state's budget mess, solve our crime crisis, our homeless crisis, our drug crisis, the overtaxation, the unaffordability, you name it. What have they been behind the scenes plotting? How to keep us out of Olympia. I have it on good authority, that they are going to try to use these old rules and twist them so that people like me and Jonathan, who they don't agree with and who they know will ask them harder questions than they're used to, who they know will point out the flaws in their policies, so that we can't go into a building paid for with taxpayer funds and question people paid with taxpayer money. So I wanted to put this on your radar today, because much like last year, we are prepared to fight and take the fight all the way. And I have been morally consistent on this issue as long as I've been a journalist. I don't care what outlet it is. I don't care if it's the Ragettes at the Burner. I don't care if it's the Stranger. If their job is disseminating information to people, even if they do opinion, even if they advocate for or against policy positions, they should have access to people in power. And we cannot have a scenario where politicians are picking and choosing who's a reporter, who's a member of the media, who's worthy of sitting in front of them and asking questions, especially at a time where, as we've detailed, a lot of these press conferences have maybe two, sometimes none, sometimes no reporters at all. And who suffers? You do. So yes, do I have a bias? 100%. I don't hide that. But a lot of people rely on us for their news and information. And if I'm not allowed in the room, if Jonathan's not allowed in the room, and any other independent media outlet or personality isn't let in the room, you're robbing their viewers and readers and listeners of a voice in Olympia. And now I understand why Democrats are doing it, because they're so used to the softballs. They are so used to the softballs, and they cannot possibly be confronted with difficult questions. And so they're going to try to maintain the status quo, and we are going to fight every step of the way, just like we did last year, to make sure that that does not happen. All right, coming up next in our segment, Unbelievable. Speaking of Olympia, right now is the period of time where bills are being pre-filed for the legislative session, and there are a couple doozies in there. A lot of virtue signaling happening. First, I have encouraged you guys to take the First Mark Challenge. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. Why? First of all, it's an exceptional company. We love their values. We love everything they stand for. They treat our viewers and listeners so well, so we appreciate them for that. But also, they offer a tremendous service. They can take all the stress of insurance off your plate, go out there, shop the market for you, come back with their recommendations. And often we hear from viewers that they are saving thousands of dollars a year. In fact, one viewer, I think this might be the biggest saving from any viewer so far, Christine, said that she was panicking, her carrier was dissolving, called up First Mark. They saved her $10,000 a year between her two businesses, her home, and three vehicles. $10,000 a year just by taking the First Mark Challenge. So FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance company. So they're always going to have your best interest in mind. All right, with that, let's get to our segment, Unbelievable. What is it? Do you want us to wear masks or do you want us not to wear masks? Good grief, 5 years ago, if you didn't wear a mask, Democrats would have an absolute meltdown. But now, if you're wearing a mask, you must be members of the Gestapo trying to hide your identities. The virtue signaling on this specific issue is so crazy to me. So we've been monitoring every day the pre-filed bills to get a sense of what's coming up for the legislative session in Olympia and what the priorities are going to be of the two political parties. Well, one of the priorities of the party in power is Senate Bill 5855, introduced by Democrats. Long list of Democratic co-sponsors. And what would it do? Unmask police officers. And of course, they don't actually care about local police. This is their virtue signaling about ICE. They said, the law says, a peace officer shall be reasonably identifiable by the officer's clearly displayed name or other information on the officer's uniform that members of the public can see and the agency can use to identify the officer. A law enforcement officer shall not wear a facial covering while interacting with the public in the performance of their duties. Although, again, they forced them to wear facial coverings in 2020 to interact with the public in the performance of their duties. But now, this is really about ICE, because this law already exists in order for officers to have to be easily identifiable when it comes to local police departments and sheriff's office and stuff like that. This is really about trying to force federal agents to uncover their faces so that loony leftist activists can take pictures of them and can continue hanging up around Seattle and Tacoma pictures of them, what their face looks like, their home address where their family and kids live. This is about helping activists dox ICE agents. But of course, it's totally performative because the state government cannot dictate how the federal government carries out lawful immigration efforts, even within the state of Washington. This law or anything else that the state of Washington does cannot force ICE agents, Border Patrol, FBI, ATF, DEA, they can't force them not to take off a mask. So here's what's going to happen with this. They're going to have hearings. They're going to dedicate time to this bill so they can all virtue signal in committee. They're going to virtue signal in the Senate Committee on Public Safety. Then they're going to virtue signal on the floor of the Senate. Then they're going to send it to the House. They're going to virtue signal in the House Public Safety Committee. Then they're going to send it for floor debates. They can all virtue signal on the floor. And then it's going to be sent to Bob Ferguson's desk so he can have a big press conference and so he can virtue signal in a big bill signing ceremony. And all of it does not jack shit. And they're going to waste time on that as opposed to dealing with any actual tangible issue that can actually influence and impact in the state of Washington. Great job, guys. Great job. All right, let's talk about another virtue signaling one. Senate Bill 5826, again, introduced, this is by Senator Twyna Nobles, has to do with providing abortions to college chicks. Good God. First of all, you guys know, and you don't like it every time I say it, I'm pro-choice. Always been. Have never strayed from that position. Don't intend to. I'm pro-choice up to fetal viability. So I am fine with the law as it exists in Washington state. But I do not believe that taxpayers should fund abortions. I do not believe that taxpayers should fund abortions. There are a ton of private entities, like many things, ton of private entities who can help prop up things like Planned Parenthood, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this is what it would do. It says, abortion, access to abortion is a human right, an integral part of essential health care, and vital for promoting public health. While I'm pro-choice, I don't agree with any of that. I really don't. It says there are approximately 196,000. It says this in the bill. Kill me. The bill says this. There are approximately 196,000 pregnancy-capable students. Stop it. Stop it. The bill says there are approximately 196,000 pregnancy-capable students attending Washington's public institutions of higher education, and many of these students need access to abortion services each year. Students seeking pregnancy termination face substantial travel, financial, and logistical barriers. But you could pull this back up, Nicole. Students seeking pregnancy termination face substantial travel, financial, and logistical barriers. Students must travel as far as 78 miles or over 4 hours on public transit round trip to the nearest abortion-providing facility, and the average wait time for an appointment is 10 days. So what this would do is it would provide access to medical abortions, Plan B, to college students. Just handing out Plan B on college campuses. Hell, might as well just stand outside the fraternities, see if there's any chicks walking out, and just throw boxes of Plan B at them. I mean, that's what this... Here, want a box of Plan B? Just set them out in the quad. Set them out in the cafeteria. You know, sandwich, chips, drink, Plan B. You've got it all. I mean, I struggle with this because... Again, you know, I support, first of all, safe sex practices and family planning. I think above all, I want women to get pregnant when they want to get pregnant. But I also understand that mistakes happen. Whoopsies happen. And I know a lot of you are like, Brandy, children are not mistakes. Children are not whoopsies. We're just going to have to agree to disagree on this topic. But we should not be handing out Plan B like they're Tic Tacs on college campuses to essentially give girls an excuse to go out and have unprotected sex with people. I just don't know. And to say, you lost me at pregnancy-capable students. At least throw us a bone and write women. At least throw us a bone and write women. So these are the priorities of the Democratic Party in Olympia this session. Just crazy. All right, let's get to a double dose of unbelievable. plan B for you, plan B for you. And you, you know those parties that college kids have where they just put a bunch of drugs and pills in a fishbowl? Oh, yeah. It didn't happen when I was a kid, but apparently the kids do it now because they like all the party drugs, right? Oh, you just put it all in a fishbowl. What? Throw some plan B in there. It'll be the government coming in and just dumping plan B in the fishbowl with all the illicit narcotics at all the college parties. Just crazy. It's an issue you should take so seriously, and abortion should be taken seriously. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could be pro-choice, but still believe that abortion is a very, very serious decision. And I do believe it is the taking of a human life. So as long as you're willing to be morally consistent about it, but they just throw it around. So, oh, it's, you know, it's just healthcare. It's just like going to get your teeth cleaned. Good gracious. All right. Senator Murray just cannot stop lying about what ICE is doing. Cannot, can't stop, won't stop, refuses to stop lying. And why? Because she can get away with it. And the media does this all the time, too. There's some story that someone tells about ICE did this, and they don't need to know any details. They immediately rush to publish it without fact-checking anything. We've seen this a million times. We've called out many of these stories locally. So in it, she puts out this, I think we have the video. You can hear Jose scream in excruciating pain. As I'm only laughing because I know the truth. As an ICE vehicle runs over his foot while he's being detained. I gotta listen. His family says Jose is a good man with no criminal record who works in roofing. He needs to be released from detention to receive appropriate medical care. Okay. At least she's attributing these statements to his family. His family says, as if she has no that absolves her from responsibility to get the story correct at all. And this comes just after she had sent out this other post about one of her constituents that was mauled by an ICE dog. And he's just a good man with no criminal history. Wasn't a good man with no criminal history. And she demanded he be released from detention. And now this guy needs to be released from detention too because his foot hurts. That's not what happened. Not what happened at all. Trisha McLaughlin, the Assistant Secretary for Public Affairs at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, said this. No, ICE did not run over this illegal alien's leg. Pure theater, no injury. After ICE officers applied wrist restraints, he launched into an Oscar-level performance, dramatically screaming while officers simply moved his vehicle off the roadway. He walked around normally, immediately after, without any issue, and received a full medical evaluation, including multiple x-rays that showed zero fractures, dislocations, or injuries. And Patty Murray, she's just absolutely doubling down because she shared this Oregon Public Broadcasting story. And they used Patty Murray's post as their source to write a story, which we know Patty Murray's post is inaccurate. ICE should not be free to inflict this kind of pain and suffering on innocent immigrants. This doesn't make anyone safer. Republicans must join Democrats in calling for oversight, accountability, and serious restraint. No, it does make us safer when people have criminal histories. And frankly, enforcing the laws of the nation make us safer as a nation. But play that video again. Just listen to the guy scream. He says his foot was run over. I've had my foot run over before. Has anybody else had their foot run over by a car? It actually does not hurt as bad as you think it would hurt. And that's how I know he didn't have his foot run over by a car.
Well, and it would be, you'd think it'd be a sharp pain that you'd be like, wah! And then it'd be like done. A shock, right?
I'm sorry. I believe the federal government. Mm-hmm. They said he got x-rays, nothing's broken at all. And frankly, if you're in the country illegally, and you're trying to be detained, all you have to do is just cooperate. And nothing's going to happen to you except you're going to be deported from the country for coming here illegally and maybe for the crimes that you committed while you're here. But Senator Patty Murray has zero interest at all in waiting for the correct information before pushing out a narrative that the media then picks up. And the media spins it as true because the media is quoting a United States senator, and a United States senator wouldn't lie. Just wild. Absolutely unbelievable. All right, we'll get to some national news coming up next. My friend Nick Sorter are launching a $10 million lawsuit against the Portland Police Department, accusing the agency of targeting conservatives during the protests outside the ICE facility there that continued for months on end. First, if you are a small to mid-sized landlord in the state of Washington, consider becoming a member of RHA today. RHAWA.org. RHAWA.org. Not only can they help you navigate the ins and outs of being a landlord in the state of Washington, all the new rules, regulations, paperwork, documentation, all of that stuff. They can help you. They do it all the time. It's like second nature. But they're also down in Olympia once the session begins in January, advocating on your behalf, trying to get meetings with lawmakers on both sides of the aisle to talk about the issues facing housing providers and also to talk about, you know, some of the policies and how they'll impact people who provide rental units to individuals to live in. So RHAWA.org, RHAWA.org, empowering Washington State's housing providers. Become a member today. All right, in a little bit of national news. So you'll recall Nick Sorter, he was on the Antifa roundtable panel with me at the White House, and he had been in Portland covering what was happening for months on end outside the ICE facility there. And the first day that he, one of the first days that he was there, he had been, and I don't know, do we have the actual flag video? Can you play that?
Look out here, white guy. I'm walking down the street. Drink your water. Get out of here.
So he's being trying to walk away from these goofy Antifa wannabe ninjas. And they won't back away from him. They make contact and he defends himself and then they push him down. And so all that happened on video. It was very clear who the aggressor was. Antifa had been outside this facility assaulting Katie Davis Court, Honey Badger Mom for months on end, and no consequences. No consequences for the conduct that the far left agitators were engaged in. But after that happened to Nick, there was a consequence. He was arrested by the Portland Police Department. It was funny because this was just a couple days, or maybe the day before, maybe 2 days before. We were at the White House. And he was with me waiting to get into the White House and go through our little, we'd been pre-screened and pre-cleared, but his arrest had happened in the meantime. And so now all of a sudden he had this brand new arrest that they were trying to figure out if they could let him into the White House. And I think they had to call someone in the White House and they had to explain that like he was wrongfully arrested and released without charges by the Portland Police Department. So it like pinged on the Secret Service thing when he was trying to get into the White House. But in all seriousness, it's insane that that happened to him, because you see the video, you see very clearly that he wasn't the aggressor. He was trying very hard to walk away. They wouldn't let him walk away. They were in his face. They made contact with him. He tried to create some distance and then they pushed him to the ground. He gets arrested after months of Antifa never getting arrested for anything. So now he is suing the Portland Police Department for $10 million. He went on with Laura Ingraham on Fox News last night.
These liberal, these big leftist police departments routinely side with the woke, radical, violent left. Just today, actually, we served them with a $10 million federal civil rights lawsuit because this is a pattern and practice of these far left cities ordering their police department to go after people like me and to, and in Portland's case, leave the leftist protesters alone, give them more runway and latitude.
And I do believe that he has a case to be made from firsthand experience. There were instances, and this happened to me, I went down, this is towards the end of the ICE occupation, and I got assaulted outside this encampment that Antifa had set up. Totally unprompted, had walked outside the tent area, you guys will recall this, was pushed down, my camera broken, a big kind of burly man, woman with a... what do you call this? Like a crowbar across my wrist with their arm, just insane. And we followed them. Jonathan Cho followed them to the Antifa safe house. And we told Portland police they're in there. They didn't do anything about it. They didn't make an arrest. So we have the whole thing. We'll make an arrest. We even tell you where the suspect is. The same thing happened to Katie Davis Court. She was assaulted with a flagpole, had a black eye, and followed the person to the Antifa safe house. Portland police had the person at one point, let him walk away. Let him go into the safe house and just said it was too dangerous to go in there. So all these instances of Portland police knowing who suspects are. I gave Portland police in my assault the name of a suspect that someone who knew them said, hey, this is, we're pretty certain the person who assaulted you. And we passed that information along to Portland police. That was what, a month and a half ago now? 2 months ago? You think we've heard anything back? Of course not. So all these instances of them very obviously refusing to arrest and allowing disorder and crimes every single day to be committed by the far left. And then Nick Sorter what? Like defends himself against aggression and he gets put in handcuffs? So I absolutely think that he has a case to be made. The question is, will he get a fair shake in Portland? We just had a story on the show yesterday where a jury in Portland acquitted a black guy of stabbing a white guy because the white guy called him the N-word after the attack, after he was stabbed. And so the jury's like, nah, we're siding with the black guy in this one. Just crazy. I mean, I don't know. So I'm glad. I think discovery will be the really telling thing here, because you can actually compel as part of, and I think that's what Nick Sorter, he was talking to Laura Ingraham last night, what he really wants here is that discovery process to be able to get any sort of internal directives that were given to either not arrest the left or focus on arresting people who were, you know, deemed to be on the right or deemed to be conservative. So we will see what comes of that. All right, let's get to our daily subscriber show poll. I asked you guys this one. I realize it's a little open to interpretation, but bear with me here. Sometimes I do that intentionally. So I asked you on Patreon, Locals, and X, should public school teachers who identify as transgender have to teach a student who either personally opposes that identity or whose parents oppose that identity? So this, of course, is in reference to the story that's developing out of Tumwater with the fifth grade non-binary teacher who wanted to the school to craft a way to remove students or put students in different classes who basically had conservative parents because they them worried that it would put their safety at danger if they had to interact with parents who disagreed with their identity. Now, I will say after reading the full investigative report, you know, the teacher made it clear, oh, it's not about the kids, it's about their parents, but it doesn't matter. You're making it about the kids. Mm-hmm. These are 10-year-olds. They're 10 years old, right? So here's where I say this is like a little bit open-ended. Because let's say, first of all, just reading it as it is, Nicole, yes or no? Should they have to teach a student? Or like, because you could say a high schooler, right?
I would say that's what you sign up for as a public school employee. You can't just pick and choose who you are teaching.
Correct.
If I'm the parents, would I want my kid in that class? No. And do you get to choose? Yes.
Yeah. So I think the obvious answer is yes, right?
Yes.
Now, I think there's a little wiggle room in my mind if this, like, let's say you've got a senior and they don't believe that transgender is a thing and they are actively doing something to make the teacher, you know, saying things to the teacher, disrupting the class. But then that becomes a behavioral
issue,
right? That becomes a behavioral issue. And so just the teacher saying, oh, conservatives don't, you know, they don't believe, first of all, your identity is a fantasy. I think that's important to realize. It's like people don't have to live in your fantasy world. And the sooner that you give that up, the better, and just be comfortable. Be comfortable, especially as an adult and a teacher. Be comfortable in who you are, if that's really who you think you are, and don't force your fantasy on other people. Mm-hmm. Why does it matter to you if other people adopt your fantasy about yourself that you're they, them? So yes, I think the legitimate answer is of course they have to teach that child. Now, would you want? I don't know.
And if you cannot use, I was feared for my safety. There's nothing to back that claim up.
No. And
there's
again,
there's no threat to violence. There is no.
Right.
I mean, you can't just say your feelings being hurt is a threat of safety.
No. Now, if they're like threatening you because I'm not having my kid taught by some tranny or whatever it is, and I'm going to come to school and beat your ass. Totally different. Now that's a law enforcement issue. You know what I mean? So you're right. You didn't give anything to back up that you actually might be at risk because this kid's dad doesn't want boys to play in girls' sports. That's unhinged. And before I get to your guys' comments, I got, let's get your comments and I'll talk about that a little bit on the back end. But 98% of you said, yes, the teacher has to still teach a child, even if they don't agree with the child's politics, or their parents' politics. Just like everybody else, do they truly want equality or do they just want revenge? Steven, there is no need for any student in the classroom to even know that a teacher is trans. Well, I mean, they're going to know something's up because she's making them call her mix, they, them. Cynthia, yes, except as a parent, I would not want my child in the classroom of someone who would then be likely to punish my child to accept their psychosis as normal. This person is not hired as a teacher. This person not being hired as a teacher would be the best solution. I mean, you can't do that because that would be discrimination, but there is a level of, should you be pushing that identity on kids? I don't believe that that's fair. Leanne, under no circumstance should any teacher ever reject an opportunity to learn something from someone different from them, but to refuse to teach any group of people is absolutely abhorrent. Yeah, I agree. Junie, should a Christian teacher have to teach a student who is transgender? Should a Jewish teacher have to teach a Muslim student? Should a Muslim teacher have to teach a Jewish student? Should a Democrat teacher have to teach a child from a Republican family or vice versa? You get the picture. Right. If you allow this for this trans teacher, then what else do you allow? Oh, all of a sudden the Muslim teacher doesn't want to teach the Jewish kid because free Gaza or whatever it is. You can't do it. And no sane adult should want to do it. It is such an insane thing for this teacher to have even said that I don't believe they're fit to be in the classroom. And what I was going to say is I got this email from another teacher in the Tumwater School District after we aired this story yesterday, basically begging us not to talk about it anymore, saying that this MX Thornton is a nice person and doesn't deserve the hate that they're going to get. I don't know this person. In my entire career, whether someone is nice has never factored in to whether a newsworthy story should go to air. I'm sorry. And I don't think it's nice. I don't think it's a characteristic of being nice to suggest that you can't teach a 10-year-old boy because of something his daddy said on the school board and because his daddy took the position of no boys and girls sports. I don't think that that's a nice thing to do, to put a 10-year-old boy in that situation. So, you know, you're a public school teacher. You're paid for with public funds and you're fair game. Your actions, your words are fair game. Govern yourself accordingly. Wild. All right, we'll get to comments coming up next. Nicole and I, actually, we were trying to get done roughly on time. Today we'll be a little late, but we're heading down to Vancouver, Washington. We've got an event tonight, and then we're coming back. We're not missing the show tomorrow. We're driving there in the big rainstorm. Then we're driving back tomorrow morning, so we'll see how that goes. Hopefully we don't get flooded off the roadway. Our friends at Valentine Roofing have just been awarded the best roofing company in the Pacific Northwest for a third year in a row. So why would you use anyone else? And they offer so many different services. This time of year, they offer custom holiday lighting, which I think is pretty cool. Can save you the stress of having to do that yourself. And it's very reasonable, so you can call them for an estimate on that, 206 Roofing. And of course, they offer gutter cleaning, installation, attic insulation, even exterior cleaning. Or roofing, obviously, is the big thing. So if you feel like maybe you need a new roof, or you know, you're not sure if your leak can be repaired, they'll come out, they'll check it out. They're not going to force you or encourage you to buy a new roof if you don't need one. If they can repair it, they will repair it. But if you do need a new roof, it can be a big expense for a homeowner. So they have flexible financing options, including zero down, 0% interest. So taking care of your home has never been easier. Reach out to our friends at Valentine Roofing and call 206 Roofing, 206 Roofing for your free estimate today. Make sure to tell them you heard about them right here on Undivided. All right, I think Miranda's back in the live stream today. Miranda became a homeowner yesterday. Officially a homeowner.
I'm so excited for her.
She's so excited. She sent me a picture of her keys. So her and Javier are new homeowners. That's why she wasn't in the live chat yesterday dealing with comments.
I also saw her transplanting kale.
My sister is so funny. So she has like this. My sister has the greenest thumb. She's such a hippie. And she has like soil she's been working on for a long time. So she's transplanting the soil that she's been working on for her. Good. And apparently they have a whole trailer of all her little pots and plants and stuff, because now the house they got has a much bigger backyard than their rental did. And so she's super excited to garden and do all her hippy-dippy stuff. So, yeah. So congratulate my sister on her. I'm going to go down to Mike and I are spending the last 2 weeks of the year in Florida, because we take the last 2 weeks of the year off, show off every year. And so we get to see her house, and I'm not going to help with gardening, though. There's bugs in the garden. And I don't even know what would be in there in Florida. Pythons, alligators, lizards, geckos. Parrots. I have no idea. All right. On this weekend signature gathering event, we would love to have every single one of you there. Again, it's the last one I'm going to be able to do. I think it's the last public event that I'm going to be at. Until 2026. Nighthawk says, been gathering signatures for all three petitions. Yay. See, you can just do that. Isn't that fun? You can just go do it and just say, this is how I'm going to contribute. I'm going to get five five people to sign.
I mean,
it makes such a difference.
We've only got about a week left, a week and a half left for both of us, or for all three of them. I think that the voter one is a little bit longer. Like, they have a few more extra days. But but either way, I mean, you've got about a week left. Go get them. Go get them.
Yeah, it's crunch time. And I really should say the one I'm most worried about is the voter ID.
Go do that.
And it's kind of sad. I guess we should have been kind of maybe promoting all of them equally the entire time, because one of them is from the state Republican Party. The other one are Let's Go Washington. I just think from an issue perspective, I'm more passionate about what's happening with the parental rights side of things and in our education system. But voter ID is common sense. If it gets on the ballot, it'll pass as long as they don't mess with it at all. So find a way to sign all three of them.
I think it's wagop.org, and you can just print.
You can print
it
on there.
Make sure you have the same or the right size paper, and then you can print it, send it in.
Yeah.
Print it, send it in.
And you can also find like your local GOP office, and they should have copies of it there. So just call ahead to make sure that they're open. All right. And we'll have that. Somebody will be coming with that initiative as well to the event in Tumwater. So Amber, my king, says, what we seriously need to do as common sense people is hold these weird people accountable and not let up. Of course, not be as unhinged as them, but seriously, we need to step it up a notch or two. I can be unhinged. Okay, I can. But yes, we're nonviolent people. We are nonviolent people, which limits the opportunities to influence voters because they use violence, fear, intimidation, lies, et cetera, et cetera. And we just have the plain old truth and our enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. And we need to use that. Mary Kay, my son has that teacher this year. Oh my gosh. My son has that teacher this year, and I tried to pull him out in the beginning of this year because he didn't want to call her MX Thornton, and he didn't feel comfortable. When I went to the conference at the beginning of this year, I called her Miss Thornton. She didn't correct me, but on the first day of school, she corrected my son. Okay, that makes me mad, because if you're really going to say that I have to be called Mix Thornton instead of, I think,
you can't correct an adult, but you can correct a child.
Then you should have made it very clear out of the presence. Here's what an adult would do, right? You're out of the parent-teacher conference. Ask the child to kind of, can you give me and your mom just a moment alone? Tell the mother, hey, it's really important to me that I'm called Mix Thornton. I don't want to correct anyone. I mean, it's unhinged, right?
It's unhinged.
But they're not going to get around it. They're not going to get around it. So all I'm saying is an adult would tell the parent, I notice you called me Miss. I'd really prefer this. It's what my expectation is going to be of kids in the school year. Now, you can have that debate, and it's really stupid, but to not correct the mom and then to correct the 10-year-old child in front of other students? Come on, guys. That's unhinged. Mary, I need to know all the dirt.
I know.
I need to know all the dirt. There's nothing the school can do to you. There's nothing the school can do to you for sharing what's happening in a public school. These are people who we pay their salaries. You pay their salaries. They work for you. There is no consequence to doing that. All right. On the outrageous adults attacking girls for standing up for themselves on social media, who does that? Who attacks teen girls?
People on the other side of computer screens.
Right. It's just wild. Joanna Douglas, you will not find one comment from me attacking a trans athlete. A minor. Now, if you're an adult, fair game. But if you're a minor, I'm not going to make it about you. No. Joanna Douglas, Dominique is horrible. That's the blogger. Another bad one in Wenatchee Valley is Progressive Devilry, who he works alongside. They are also horrible to Donnelly and others who think like we do. Well, you know, we just called them out as being, you know, awful.
I know. So I think that they run blogs, and then sometimes they get published by an actual news source, which, what are you doing, news sources, publishing?
Yeah, that's weird. Like, and to call a girl anti-trans, no, they're pro-girls. It's just wild. No. On Katie Not Wilson wanting to publicly fund the media, Eric 496, it's sad that people haven't read or saw the movie 1984. Yeah, they want to control information. And again, you think they're going to use that money to fund any media outlet that they deem as even slightly to the right? Of course not. I mean, they think the Seattle Times is conservative, right? Lockman, this is totally Orwellian newspeak coming to a screen near you. Look, and again, I do opinion. I am giving you my opinion on the show every day. Do I ever pretend it's something else? Now, we couch that in fact, so I'm forming my opinion based on factual information that we verified. In the very rare instance we get something factually wrong, my opinion might not change, but I correct the factual information. So it's important, you know, I'm not talking, I don't believe news outlets have to be considered can only be considered journalism or legitimate media if they don't do opinion. This nation started with opinion. And that was why the First Amendment was made, is because you had the pamphleteers who were sharing their opinions and trying to get, you know, the U.S. to break from the monarchy. And so that was the old school free press. But now that people doing exactly that, advocating for positions, pushing back against the government, we're not journalists, we're not members of the media, we are not allowed in spaces. It's wild, wild stuff.
They also have it so easy. It shocks me that they even bring attention to it, because they have it so easy, as we showed today. Like, nobody asks them questions, nobody presses them, right, other than us. And
but that's why they can't have that.
But I mean, they can't shut us down.
Think of that Sean Scott press conference. What it would have been like had I not been there. I mean, Carlene was there with the Center Square, and she asked some good questions.
But he was terrible to her.
He was really rude to her.
Really rude.
But the others, they were like, oh, there was a couple who asked very softball questions. There were a couple who were clearly there with some, like, leftist blog, which is fine. But
and then some that just
I'm
sent
sorry.
Cameramen.
Wait, had I not been there, there were reporters that didn't even ask questions. Had I not been there, nobody would have asked the obvious question about the impact on businesses.
I know.
The obvious questions would have gone totally unanswered. And look, I'm not going to be down in Olympia every day. I think I went 4 times last session. I do a show every day. And so it's not like I'm asking to be at every single press conference, at every single vote. No, I'm going to go down there for very important things where I think it's important to be there and to ask questions. But they can't have that. So this is going to be another fight. And I don't want that. You think that we want, that's the busiest time of year for us. You think we want to be engaged in another legal battle? Oh, as fun as they can be. They are a little time consuming. They can be draining. I would rather people just say, hey, especially the journalists down there, why are you working with politicians and working against us? Mm-hmm. That makes no sense. Let's just, you know, and I'm fine with the decorum argument. If you, whether it's me or Cho or someone else.
They want to tell Cho to put on some closed-toed shoes.
Yes. If you're acting out of hand, that's a different issue entirely.
Yes.
Decorum is, as long as you could follow decorum, I don't think anybody should be able to be blocked. Mm-hmm. All right, a couple more here. Summer Chen, I came from China, where there used to be government-owned grocery stores and still have state-owned media. And boy, Katie Wilson is a communist. Well, she is basically a communist. Gosh. So on the Washington bill to ban cops from wearing face masks, Old Sub Sailor, the blue cities are all biased. How about outlawing masks for demonstrators, not just law enforcement? Yep, can't do that. You know, Antifa covering their faces to commit crimes, mm-hmm, just fine. Rick Johnson, so law enforcement has to unmask, but Antifa rioters don't? Yeah. On the free Plan B, free taxpayer-funded Plan B, Weiscastle, pro-choice with limitations or pro-life with limitations. Americans are closer on this issue than any of the ranting advocates want us to believe. Oh, 100%. I think a lot of people who are, it's a fairly small segment of the populace, I would say, that's pro-life, without any exceptions. Mm-hmm. Most people, this is a good point to make. Pro-life or pro-choice, with certain exceptions, brings you in a little bit, right? Because you might say, life of the mother on this side, life of the mother, you know, fetal viability. And so, you know, I think very few people are, without any exception, pro-life, even in cases of rape, incest, life of the mother. I mean, is that fair to characterize? Yeah. I mean, you're more religious than I am.
Yeah. So no, I definitely think that I think it's, yes, I think more people are in this, in where are they land where pretty close to where you're at.
Yeah.
But I think that this normalizing Plan B, like it's a vitamin that you take just to stop pregnancy, or like it's birth control, because it's not birth control. It's after birth control.
Right.
It's not been used, right? So I think they're just trying to normalize it and to keep the birth rates down, yeah, and get their what they want. And I don't know.
Well, like you said, it's not a daily vitamin. It's not a daily vitamin.
And it's not fun to take, from what I hear. It's not, I mean, it's a, and now you've got people just taking it thinking it's easy. It's pretty rough on your system, from what I've been told. So I'm like, I don't think this is what you just have sitting out, yeah, for kids to take.
Well, right. And you need to, because you can buy it. You don't need a prescription for it, right? You can buy it over the counter.
Correct.
Right.
But I think you get it closer to. Typically, you get it handed to you by the pharmacist.
Oh, so you need the shame?
Well, I think so they can tell you, like, what it's going to do to you.
Right, right, right.
But I don't know. You might be able to buy it without that.
Yeah. Jethro McButterpants says, why don't we just have Plan B Pez dispensers? We have the technology. That's really what it seems like. They're just, it's a casual, like, yeah. Oh, Plan B, take a pill.
Yeah, it's kind of like Narcan.
On the $10 million lawsuit against Portland PD, Matthew Cook, the only time they express joy is when they hurt someone, pure sociopaths, Nick being pushed to the ground while they cheer. I know, it's just, and he's the one who's arrested. Couple random super chats, and I did have a couple housekeeping things. SSR Garage says, I wonder how many common sense capable people there are. Quite a few, actually. I do believe quite a few. Bruce, good afternoon. I just got word that Tim Walz is speaking at a luncheon with Bob Ferguson right now at the Seattle Convention Center. Yes, and you know who, is it happening right now? I won't give it away. I know somebody who's squirreling their way in.
Oh,
I won't give it away because I don't want them to be spotted in the crowd as an interloper.
Love it.
So I can't have that.
Love it.
But yeah, we'll see what happens. And if some video comes out of the Tim Walz event with Bob Ferguson for his annual fundraiser, maybe they can talk about how they've so successfully defrauded taxpayers in their in their states. That would be great.
That is real exciting. Those two are the most exciting speakers.
Yeah, riveting. A really quick note, we've been having locals, if you subscribe on the locals platform, the platform's having some video upload issues that are affecting longer form videos. You might have noticed that with Sundays with Subscribers, it published very late. So we are working on it. We're trying to figure it out, but just note that videos might be published a little later than you're used to. So hopefully that fix will be in place soon. All right, we'll get to our closing sanity check. But first, with talk of an AI bubble, are you concerned about the risk for your retirement portfolio? I think it'd be very reasonable to have some questions. Reach out to our friend Zach Abraham at Bulwark Capital. Go to Know Your Risk Podcast, Know Your Risk Podcast. And Zach and his team can do a one-on-one with you where he can talk about the impact AI is having on the market, do a preview for 2026, talk about how critical Bulwark's deployment of value investing is to retirement portfolios. Plus, as always, they'll do a full reveal of how Bulwark is always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, give your retirement as much upside as possible, and they can answer any other questions that you might have specific to your retirement situation. So schedule a free Know Your Risk Portfolio review. Subscribe to Zach's daily market recap, all of it at knowyourriskpodcast.com, knowyourriskpodcast.com. And with that, let's get to our closing sanity check. I gotta say, it's this rewriting of history that just, I'm not gonna say shocks, I'm not using that word anymore, never ceases to amaze me. Where, and this is gonna happen on girls' sports too, just, and the trans, whole trans agenda. 2-3 years, Democrats are gonna be acting like they never supported any of it, or that it wasn't their fault, or that, you know, they were pushed into it, or something like that. It's just this old rewriting of history, and it happens on COVID as well. But this is quite a doozy. So Randy Weingarten, who's the head of the National Teachers Union, she was doing a little interview thing, and she blames Trump for all the nonsense that went on in schools during COVID.
Do you think that teacher unions and Democrats have done enough self-examination and the role they played in pandemic school closures? Like, were there mistakes made?
Yeah, of course there were. And there were mistakes made by everyone. There was huge mistakes made by the Trump administration to not be clear, to not focus on safety as they were focusing on reopening it.
Reopening became political. And that was Donald Trump's fault. In our state, reopening was made political by the Democrats and by the Washington Education Association. And again, there's this rewriting of people are saying, oh, you know, test scores aren't very good because we closed schools during the pandemic. From the same people who wanted to keep schools closed during the pandemic. And now that it's safe enough, they're acknowledging that closures during the pandemic had an impact on child development and on education, but they don't take any responsibility for it because the media doesn't make them take responsibility for it. The number one offender of the nonsense that happened in our education systems during COVID, whether it was from ridiculous masking rules or whether it was from schools being closed and kids for an extended period of time having to learn from home, the number one offender was the teachers' unions using their power to influence the Democratic Party. And from 2021 on, President Joe Biden. Give me a break. That has been our closing sanity check. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. We appreciate every single one of you. Would love to see you on Saturday. I'll be posting the information on that Tumwater Super Signer event on my social media. So if you can make some time around the noon hour to come visit with us and support girls' sports and parental rights, we would love that. And we will be back here Same time, same place tomorrow for a live show.